The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it.
How much longer till the ship of modern civilization capsizes? How much longer will this paradigm last? And even at this late hour, the vast majority have absolutely no idea of the unraveling that's occurring around them. This is Dane Wigginton with Geoengineering Watch Radio, the Global Alert News Hour for December 24th, 2016. This is a commercial-free one-hour news program. It's paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org, so there is no commercial interruptions. There's far too much to cover, not enough time to cover it, but we'll do as good as we can this week, as always. This show is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. Recordings of this show can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the top stories, recent and radio columns, and on the KQMS archives. Also, PRN Radio Network rebroadcasts this show at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays, and that show also puts out a call-in number where you can call in from any phone and access the last five episodes of this show. That call-in number is 1-701-719-0991. Want to state again, for those people that live in Shasta County, free DVDs of Silent Epidemic, The Untold Stories, Story of Vaccinations. This is a very powerful must-see film for anyone who still has not taken the time and effort to find out the real story about vaccinations. And as I've stated many times already, it doesn't take a lot of knowledge, medical knowledge, to understand that injecting mercury, aluminum, and other toxins into your children's veins, 69 shots, the full set, if by the time they're 18, if they have all their vaccinations, doesn't take a lot of knowledge to understand that that's hugely harmful. So those DVDs are free. If you take one, put it to use, you can copy it, pass it on. Also DVDs from 2,700 architects and engineers on the 9/11 issue. And yes, if you're surrounded by friends and family that just simply knee-jerk the conspiracy theory statement back to you if you try to bring this issue up, don't go along with the herd. Don't have the herd mentality or just run for cover when someone shows resistance to the truth, because our society has been well-trained to show great resistance to the truth. So if you really care about the truth, go get some of the information on 9/11 or the vaccination issue or the climate engineering issue. Free DVDs there for that also. All we ask is that you put them to use. Also, a documentary I would recommend to anybody to view online called Fluoride, Poison on Tap. Search it online, watch it, and you'll be shocked at what you didn't know about what's being put in your water system. Images on that film of water system workers with hazmat suits on and respirators dumping bags of fluoride into the water system, bags that have the danger toxic symbols on them, and we're drinking that. So again, a mountain of data presented in that film as well. Fluoride, Poison on Tap. I want to say something that certainly with our society that's so bombarded with information that it's difficult to convey complex truths because society's been so trained to not hear those truths. It has to be a very, very simple message, and yet how do you convey complex issues when people have been so trained not to hear any sort of complex explanation of those issues? I want to state a quote from Cicero. He lived from 106 BC to 43 BC, and he said this, and this shows that not much has changed. When you wish to instruct, be brief, that men's minds take in quickly what you say, learn its lesson, and retain it faithfully. Every word that is unnecessary only pours over the side of a brimming mind. Yes, that's where we're at. was the same then, much, much worse now. People are going to have to break that paradigm and start opening their eyes and facing what's happening around us. Again, how does one convey extremely complex unfolding scenarios on which our collective futures depend when society is so trained not to hear that kind of news? We have a headline on that note. Facebook fake news checkers affiliated with U.S. government. So now even the sources of news, as we've heard this story unfold in recent weeks, that the quote fake news, we know who's really putting out the fake news, don't we? That's the corporate media. In fact, it's so astoundingly spun at this point. There's really hardly a semblance of reality in it. And most of the masses have always rallied around any public figure or quote news source or wherever they get their information that tells them what they want to hear. Not the truth, but what they want to hear. It's the my tribe, right or wrong mentality that prevails. And that's very prevalent in this country. And it will lead to our demise if it continues. I have a lot to cover in this issue. I'll try to make as much progress as I can in getting these stories. Covered later in this issue, the latest proposal by the climate engineers, new proposal for a new material to be used in the atmosphere that now they tell us is safer. What does that mean? Why haven't we been told about what's happening or being sprayed there to begin with? And now there's a new proposal. David Keith, at the head of this proposal, David Keith, the power structure PR prop, nothing but a spineless. I don't have any other word for this person. How can a person conduct themselves the way David Keith does when he knows absolutely positively the sort of deception he is participating in, deception that has done untold damage to the planet and caused mortality in how many people? And for those who want to see David Keith in action, as I've stated before, if you search David Keith, Dane Wigington, you'll see one confrontation I had with David Keith, confronting him at the fact that in his presentation at a international geoengineering conference, where he never mentioned, after a 3.5-hour symposium of at that particular event, his proposal of putting 20 million tons of aluminum into the atmosphere, and never once mentioned had any studies been done about environmental toxicity, human respiratory effects. Nothing, no study had been done. The same David Keith that works for Harvard that's now proposing a new material be used in geoengineering. More on that story later in this broadcast. Also, why are British and U.S. troops fighting alongside jihadists in Aleppo? Something our media is certainly not telling us. And finally, I want to go into depth on the shadow government's secret religion, why the national security state that emerged after 9/11 is a religion dedicated to perpetual conflict. Been over that in a lot of previous shows, the fact that 9/11 was the license by which we got here. But now we have recent stories. This is all unfolding data of U.S. and NATO fighting alongside jihadists. So why don't we hear any of these stories from the corporate media? Because their job is to make sure that you don't hear any of these stories. And now they're targeting, as we went over in previous shows as well, here's a recent headline, they're targeting alternative news sites, geoengineeringwatch.org, very high in the list of the news sites that were named in the, quote, fake news target list from mainstream media. But in fact, mainstream media, the ones that are putting out the most spun, most inaccurate news. Here's a headline. Facebook fake news checkers affiliated with U.S. government. Is that a surprise? Shouldn't be a surprise. The U.S. government is completely out of control. Governments around the globe are out of control. But the degree to which they are criminal and off the rails relates in direct proportion to the size of the governments involved, the size of the criminal cabals involved, and how many people just go along with that? How many people do each of us know that just go along, they just do their job, they just follow orders, the order followers that have led us to this dark place? And what did Edmund Burke say? Edmund Burke's quote, "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And I would argue, as I have in the past, truly good men or women would not do nothing. That's not the marker of a exceptional human being that just does nothing when they see things that are clearly wrong. Now, most of the masses as I stated before, will always rally around any public figure that tells them what they want to hear, not the truth. The power structure is continuing to pump up the stock market, on which most Americans delusionally feel is somehow legitimate and a reflection of the state of the world. It couldn't be further from the truth. This is the society we live in, and we have now. How many commercials have all of us seen? The commercials get more and more astounding for example, auto sales. When we see nothing down, no interest, no payments for 6 months, maybe you might even get a cash back. Maybe you might go sign your name, get some cash in your pocket, a brand new car, and not pay anything out, at least not for a while. Is that the sign of a booming economy? Really? How does this headline fit with the record high stock market booming economy? Here's a headline: Boeing airplane unit to cut more jobs in 2017. Here's another headline: GM sends layoff notice to 1,300 Michigan workers as sales slow, in spite of the fact that they're giving automobiles away, because the machine of modern industrialized society must grind forward, grinding up the natural world in its path. And the moment it can't, it will collapse. We are so perilously close to that point. And even now, especially now, I should say, how many people are in total, absolute denial? I heard a broadcast on a North State radio station a week ago. I heard part of it. This is KCNR, I think is what it is. And the hosts on that show were discussing how crazy it was that anybody could think there's anything wrong with the trees or the environment or the oceans. I don't know what planet they're living on. It's not this one. We have headlines everywhere. We have millions, hundreds of millions of trees dying in California alone. All over the globe, we've lost 55% of the tree cover that was here at the dawn of civilization. 55%. 3.4 trillion trees, I believe. I've seen this firsthand because I take the time as much as I can to see the carnage firsthand. I went to Yosemite earlier this year and was just completely astounded. I went to meet rock face climber Ron Kauk. He's internationally renowned, exceptional human being who's dedicated his life to the greater good, not just a world-renowned climber, but to try to help other people understand that we're a part of nature. I had the great honor of spending time with Ron there earlier this year and seeing the massive tree die-off. We'll put out a short documentary on Yosemite here soon. We're working on that just to show firsthand. But yet we have local media, in Northern, not just Northern California, but in countless locations, who have made it their job to pacify populations, to put them back to sleep. And I would argue anybody who spreads that kind of deception is guilty of a crime. If they are deceiving the population with issues that are so dire, vaccinations, the contaminant that's falling through our air column from climate engineering or countless other issues, are not those who participate, especially in the journalistic world, guilty of being an accessory to the crime if they are helping to hide it? We should all keep that in mind. A couple more headlines. Under airline death spiral, Boeing deepens jetliner job cuts as risk of sales downturn continues to loom. Another headline, global shipping still declining. This is reality. Just because you see numbers on a stock market that are being pushed up to record highs, if you take some sort of security or comfort in that, you are completely missing the point. As I've said so many times, when the biosphere implodes, everything else will follow. Modern civilization will follow. It's here. It's not off on the horizon. It's happening now. I'll get to more details on that in a moment. But every possible step is being taken by those in power to keep the public from panicking until the last possible moment, while the global elite prepare for the coming storm. We've poisoned our air, fouled our waters, and in general pushed our planet's life support systems past the breaking point. Controlling the masses, that's what it's about now for those in government. If you want to know exactly how much carnage is happening, I would encourage anybody go to a site called, it's called End Times Prophecy, and I'm not any part of that group, or I don't condone or condemn that particular group's beliefs, but they've done an incredible job of documenting the daily carnage from around the globe. It's under a site called Mass Animal Deaths for 2016. In fact, if you just search mass animal deaths for 2016, you'll go right to that site, and you will be shocked at the headlines from all over the globe. Massive fish kills, massive animal die-offs in so many locations. It's just every single day. Tens of thousands of tons of fish floating up dead all over the globe. Freshwater, seawater, and all bodies of water. And this is accelerating rapidly. I challenge anybody to go to that site. And they don't just post a headline. They post a link to the article, to the research. It's all there. These are localized media sources where these die-offs are happening. It's all over the globe. And I've been lucky enough, fortunate enough in my past, I've shared some of this before, to have spent time on the ocean alone in areas even from Australia and the Caribbean, Fiji, Australia, Baja California, the Sea of Cortez, very remote areas. And I've been very fortunate to see astounding things that I know are no longer there. I would spend many days at a time at, for example, Santa Barbara Island, where it felt like you had the whole island. You were alone in the world there. With seal pups everywhere. I would float in the water with them for hours and be surrounded by dozens of curious and vibrant seal pups that would swim up and look you in the mask and swirl all around you. And I was so content to just be a part of that ecosystem. And now to know that literally hundreds of thousands of California sea lions have died in the last 2 years. 2 to 3 years alone. And the data's there, the photos are there. It's not something you can make up or deny. Populations are crashing because the food chain is crashing. So to report on these issues is not something I haven't experienced myself firsthand. And you'll hear, in fact, I just did a radio show recently. This is the second time this happened, where a host on the show stated everything was fine in the oceans because their relative just went to the ocean and everything looked fine. What does that mean? Because they took a walk on the beach and there was still water in the ocean, that everything's fine? What kind of simplistic outlook is that? And yet that's our society. That's the state of our society. How many of us that are fighting climate engineering have had the statement from a friend or a relative on a day when the sky looks like something from another planet, crisscrossed with toxic trails, blotting out the sun, horrible skies, and someone says, isn't it a beautiful day? And I personally can't say that, no, that's not a beautiful day. Living under a toxic canopy is not a beautiful day. While the climate system, the planet's life support systems are being ripped to shreds. Let's go over a few headlines on that note. For those that wonder just how the climate's doing, and I challenge anybody to verify everything I'm saying. Verify it. Don't go find some fake graph with no source on it that tries to convince you that there's nothing wrong with the planet, the climate, the oceans, the forest. If that's what you're doing, you don't really want the truth. Here's some headlines. Christmas heat wave for Australia. Yet more record temperatures in Australia. Australia suffered horribly. And yet we have lots of people in Australia that still think, or choose to believe, I should say, there's nothing wrong with the climate. Another headline. Regions near North Pole, this is a U.S. headline, by the way, to hit above freezing temperatures 3 days before Christmas. Think about that. So within the Arctic Circle, we're going to be above freezing, and yet we've had temperatures in the lower 48 of 30 degrees below recently, in spite of having the warmest autumn on record. Does anybody think there's something wrong with this scenario? Let's try chemical ice nucleation and weather modification. It's absolutely going on. Creates astoundingly low temperatures, shallow layer of cold air on the ground, but it's very, very cold if you're in that layer. But we need to look at the bigger picture. And let's go back to 2015. Christmas 2015, while we had 20 below in places in the continental U.S., it was 40 degrees, almost 40, 39 to 40 degrees, and raining at the North Pole on Christmas Eve. Think about that. Didn't hear much media coverage about that, did we? Another headline, East Antarctica is melting from above and below. Scientists confirm, this is another headline by the way, scientists confirm that warm water is melting the biggest glacier in East Antarctica. I want to state again, that climate engineering, so people understand, climate engineering is making all of these headlines worse overall, not better. The attempt to hide the problem, which has been going on for over 7 decades, while weather warfare is going on, which is biological warfare, because all these elements are toxic, and certainly biological experimentation is absolutely going on as well. Plenty of data to back that up. So there is no benevolence in what's going on in our skies. It's not a cure. It's not mitigation. It's not some solution to allow us to live our completely destructive current paradigm longer. Climate engineering is malevolent, period. And it's worsening these problems with these headlines I'm reading right now. A few more headlines. Melting glacier in Antarctica could raise sea levels by 11 feet. Many people wonder how much can sea levels rise ultimately. Here's how much. You have multiple factors that contribute to sea level rise, by the way. You have thermal expansion. As the oceans warm, it raises sea levels from thermal expansion. And sea levels do not rise uniformly, by the way. Depends on the underlying topography below the sea surface, a lot of other factors as well, prevailing winds and so forth. But the total that sea levels could rise, you have about 197 feet of sea level rise built into Antarctica. This doesn't happen overnight, but it's happening very, very quickly. And it doesn't take much to completely change the shorelines around the globe. You have about 21 to 24 feet of sea level rise built into Greenland. You have about 10 to 15 feet of sea level rise built into the rest of the Earth's glaciers that are disappearing at blinding speed. 230, 240 feet of total sea level rise. It's not a question of if, but when. It's happening. Again, it's not going to happen overnight, but 1 meter of sea level rise will completely devastate modern civilization because there's so much habitation along shorelines, and it is happening. It's absolutely happening. And you don't need to believe me. You don't need to believe anybody, whatever they say about sea level rise. Simply take the time to look at frontline film footage of glaciers calving, pouring off of meltwater into the ocean from glaciers all over the globe, glaciers that are gone. They're simply gone. And there's film footage. Watch Chasing Ice. Watch the film Chasing Ice, which you can watch for $2 or $3 online, and then tell yourself that glaciers aren't melting. You can't, not rationally or logically. Here's another headline from Bloomberg, and I want to get to this. This is one of the headlines I mentioned earlier. So what does the power structure do when something is completely unfolding that's starting to get public view and they want to hide that? What did they do in the Gulf of Mexico when we had the Macondo well? And I refer to this example often because it's a very clear example of the power structure mentality. When they use Corexit, an incredibly toxic chemical that's banned throughout the globe, but they used it in the Gulf of Mexico for the Macondo oil spill in order to hide the problem. Not to mitigate it, not to make it better, but to hide the problem. So the environmental impact reports stated that that chemical corrects it, which breaks up the oil, causes it to sink, makes it the oil impossible to clean up, but it hides it. It made the situation 52 times more toxic, but the power structure used it anyway because they wanted to hide the problem. Same mentality with climate engineering, though they're not admitting it's going on. They're getting close to that point because they can't hide it much longer. But we have geoengineers like David Keith, whom I mentioned earlier, who are the face of the PR disinformation campaign for the most important issue of all, which is climate engineering at this point, that now come up with completely new, quote, cures, as if we're supposed to forget about their last suggestions that are complete cataclysms all over the planet, the spraying of aluminum along with other materials into the sky. We now have David Keith saying this, quote, "It won't solve the underlying problem, but geoengineering may have just gotten a bit safer." That's a headline from Bloomberg, by the way. That's where that news source headline came from. So now, from this report, a group of Harvard researchers led by Dr. David Keith, a professor of applied physics and public policy, public propaganda was what it should say, just proposed a different solution for the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. If any of the listeners might remember, when our legal team issued the 60-day notice of legal filing to try to expose climate engineering, within 3 hours, I got contacted by Marsha McNutt, the president of the National Academy of Sciences, who initially had a very arrogant attitude of denial, but once she knew there was a team of attorneys involved and she was included in some of those emails, her attitude changed completely because these people think they're immune to public wrath once the public finds out who they are and what they're doing. And we need to send them emails and let them know that we know they're accessories to these crimes. So back to this report. David Keith, Harvard professor, the face of geoengineering, the public propaganda face of geoengineering, has a new solution now, a new type of material that he says we should spray into the atmosphere. And he apparently wants us to forget that his suggestion that people can watch, search Dane Wigington, David Keith, and watch that video. It's 5 minutes long, very short, but that I think it'll shock you if you haven't seen it, where he was made by my questioning on film to state, he stated this about the spraying of 20 million tons of aluminum annually into the atmosphere. He said, we haven't done any studies. Could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. That's a scientist. We don't know. We're pushing for this 20 million tons to be sprayed annually. We have no idea the consequences. Well, you don't have to be a scientist to understand spraying 20 million tons of highly toxic aluminum. We have new studies on that, by the way, proving yet again that aluminum causes neurological disease, period. How could we not know that? Why would you have to be a scientist to know that spraying this into the atmosphere means all of us get to breathe it? Every living thing gets to absorb it. So now David Keith is switching gears and suggesting an aerosol of, I'm reading right from the report now, an aerosol of calcium carbonate would have similar cooling effects as sulfur dioxide in the upper atmosphere and would help protect the ozone layer as a bonus. As a bonus. Does it sound like we just won the lottery? That we're going to get to breathe calcium carbonate now? And what's that going to do to us, combined with everything else they're spraying? And how did the ozone layer get destroyed to begin with? From climate engineering. Not just the CFCs that we're told, the chlorofluorocarbons, that are harmful to the ozone layer, and there's lots of other gases that are harmful, but all of those other gases and other sources combined are a small fraction of the damage that's been done by climate engineering. And now, what do we see the power structure do? What they do best. If one form of insanity is causing a lot of problems, let's just heap another form of insanity on top of it. Layer upon layer upon layer of insanity. So now, the latest proposal from David Keith to keep the science community chasing their tail as if they don't know what's going on in the skies already, we're proposing spraying calcium carbonate. And that's a bonus, according to David Keith. And let's get to another layer of insanity with the methane releasing that I just want to remind everyone that methane release and the methane saturation of the atmosphere is determining our collective future right now, more than any other issue, more than Fukushima. The only thing that could eclipse what's happening in the atmosphere with methane saturation and ozone destruction is nuclear cataclysm. And that is happening as well, in some degree, with Fukushima. It could get a lot worse fast. And as the ozone layer is destroyed, the nuclear issue gets still worse because now we have no protection from a CME, coronal mass ejection, or solar flare that shuts down grids, means many nuclear plants can't cool themselves, which means we'll have a lot of Fukushimas soon, probably. But don't worry, David Keith to the rescue. He's going to spray calcium carbonate now, or suggest the geoengineers do this, and we'll have to start testing for this because likely if they're telling us now, they're already doing it, to try to salvage what's left of the ozone layer that they destroyed to begin with. And on the methane, geoengineering has altered upper level wind currents. That's altered ocean currents. We have warm water pumping into the Arctic. That's causing the methane to release. So we're back to the point that geoengineering is not mitigation. It's a disaster, an absolute global cataclysm. And as that methane is saturating the upper atmosphere, we have yet more layers of insanity, Project Lucy and Project Alamo. Those are acronyms. If you search Lucy methane or Alamo methane, you'll find more data on this. This is the attempt to microwave the upper atmosphere with opposing frequencies to try to degrade some of the methane. Insanity heaped on insanity heaped on insanity. And all the while, the population, as I mentioned earlier in this program, is complacent, doesn't want to know, and are trained to believe if they ignore the problem long enough, it will go away. I want to finish the last paragraph from this report from Bloomberg about geoengineering and the latest proposal to spray calcium carbonate into our atmosphere. From the report, the approach is akin to giving the atmosphere a handful of antacid tablets. How simplistic is that? Incredibly ridiculous is that. Continuing from the report, the aerosols would block some incoming solar energy and neutralize airborne acid particles that are bad for the ozone layer that came from the first geoengineering programs and a whole lot of other human activity. That's something people need to understand as well. For those that have tried to convince themselves that the human beings have not harmed the planet, that anthropogenic activity has not harmed the planet, that there's nothing wrong, you're not living in reality, period. Final statement from this report. The new study opens the world's atmosphere seeding options beyond sulfur dioxide, which has caused much debate inside and outside the scientific community, turning to calcium, a calcium compound that's among the most common on Earth, could have significantly less environmental risk than sulfate aerosols, the authors write. They never really told us about the risk from sulfate aerosols to begin with. They're admitting to it now. How could there not be a danger from putting 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere? How could there not be a danger? And when we look at what they state here, that calcium carbonate is among the most common elements on Earth. Is that supposed to make us feel better? So many people, I hear this from so many people, aluminum's a common element, we should expect it in our rain. That's not true. Aluminum doesn't exist in the environment in free form. Yes, it's an extremely common element. Does that mean we should inhale it whenever we have the chance? And this is part of the way that the power structure tries to make things seem natural, make it seem benign to the population somehow. It's anything but benign. It's not benign. And when you hear the medical industrial complex, for example, tell you, be safe, be healthy, get your vaccination, then why do we have a 40,000%, try to get your arms around that, a 40,000% increase in autism in boys since 1975. 40,000%. How is that possible? And nobody's alarmed? Let's press on. About the weather, how many days do any of us see that are truly blue sky anymore? How many days? We see them once in a while. And when you do see those days, you should ask yourself why there was grid pattern jet traffic, cobweb looking amorphous skies in the days previous to you seeing a clear day. Ask yourself why. When the sun feels unimaginably hot on your skin, and we will publicize soon some of the readings that are being taken from a former NASA aeronautics engineer that we're working with, that we supplied metering equipment to, who's unimaginably alarmed at what he's seeing. We'll supply that data. But when you feel the sun, as I did several days ago on the winter solstice, the sun burning your face at the lowest point in the sky of the year, that should be a huge warning sign. We see trees around Northern California that are fully foliated with dead leaves, as I mentioned in earlier shows. You see some trees that still have green leaves on them. Deciduous trees, sycamores, liquid ambers. I know trees, as I've stated in the past. This is my background with my father, who was an arborist. Trees are still foliated with green leaves in some areas where they have not gotten a direct shot of the toxins that are in the precipitation that we believe there's a compound that's being mixed into the aerosols in the fall, which is forcing the trees into dormancy, at least most of them, because leaves should not die and hang on a tree. That's not the abscission hormone dropping the leaves. Something's wrong. And we know these chemicals exist. As I stated before, the fruit farmers have been using them for decades to force their trees into dormancy. So when you feel the incredibly warm sun, you see the trees' bark is being burned off them. You see that trees don't look right at all. Dead branches everywhere. Some trees have live leaves. Some are dead leaves hanging on them. Some have no leaves. Start to pay attention. Now, as we know, the weather warfare is being conducted. That's connected to other geopolitical issues. As I've stated before, we still have the yet another snowstorm over the Dakota protesters. Is that just a coincidence after the warmest autumn ever recorded, after yet more above freezing temperatures in the Arctic? Somehow, it's cold, cold, snow over the Dakota protesters in that region, and a lot of headlines confusing the population as to the true state of the climate, so on and so forth. But the climate implosion, biological implosion connected to geopolitical issues, connected to environmental issues, a couple more headlines on that front. There's a headline, the global road building explosion is shattering nature. Why is that a surprise? How much of the planet can we pave and plow down, plow over, cut down, poison? How much? How much before nothing is left alive? And how hard is that to figure out? Another headline, smog engulfs northern China for fourth consecutive day. They can't even go outside there. China's a total disaster. The planet's a disaster, but China's the epitome of that disaster. Absolute epitome. How are 1.4 billion people going to survive much longer there? I don't know. They can't even breathe. You can't see 100 yards in some cases. They're living in a toxic soup. And it's coming for the rest of us as well. Now, I want to get to back where all these unfolding elements, power structure being pushed into a corner, the attempt to topple all the Middle Eastern Eurasian countries, as I've stated before, and exactly what's going on in Aleppo and how much our media is lying to us. Again, all these events are connected, climate, biosphere implosion, geopolitical maneuvering. How much lying is the media actually doing? Let's take Aleppo for an example. What's happening in Aleppo? Because we don't hear much about Mosul, the total humanitarian disaster. We don't hear about Iraq that our country has sacked and killed literally a 500,000 children alone from the sanctions alone. We don't hear anything about that. We don't hear about Madeleine Albright, the former political official in the U.S., stating on the record that she thought it was okay that the sanction killed 500,000 children. The sanction on Iraq that had nothing to do with 9/11, that she thought, our government officials thought it was okay that the sanctions in Iraq, this is a statement on the record, don't believe me, go look it up. She said on the record she thought it was okay that the sanctions killed 500,000 children, but we don't hear about any of that. What we hear about lately is the Aleppo situation and trying to blame all of that on Russia. Just like we're trying, our government and our media is trying to blame the Clinton hacks on Russia and pretty much anything they can on Russia to galvanize the American population to support further tyrannical maneuverings by the Western power structure and NATO. On Aleppo, what's really going on there? We heard about the other stories, again, to sidetrack us from what's happening in Mosul and other countries. We heard about the rampaging diesel truck in Germany, which was certainly terrible. But we don't hear about the hundreds of innocent civilians that continue to be killed by U.S. drone attacks, some wedding parties of 50 people. We don't hear anything about that. We don't hear about the double taps being done. If you know what that tactic is, as I stated in an earlier show, that's when our drone operators bomb a location, wait for all the local inhabitants to come over and try to rescue or clean up the site, and they bomb it again. Is that not unimaginable murderous tyranny to behave in that manner? We don't hear about any of that. But back to Aleppo. Here's a headline I want everybody to think about. So we see our media blaming everything on Assad, and Assad's not a great guy, but we still should look at the truth and not lies. And they blame Russia. Here's a headline. Consider this. Quote, NATO troops fighting alongside jihadists in Aleppo. What are NATO troops doing fighting with the terrorists in Aleppo? And we have all the carnage blamed on Russia and Assad. And why should this surprise anybody? Let's look at Vietnam, as I brought up so many times before. In Vietnam, what happened there? We had the Gulf of Tonkin incident, false flag, and 60,000 of our sons and daughters died there. Do Americans really care, or is it just a matter of putting their little support this troop sticker on their bumper and looking the other way? That's not patriotism. Here's another headline. British and U.S. troops alongside jihadists in Aleppo. Same theme, but different headline. I want to read from this report. 230 U.S. Army instructors and 54 British troops, 8 French and 2 Dutch artillery specialists were trapped in Aleppo with ISIS jihadists by Syrian and Russian forces. The Americans asked the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, to keep this quiet. Yeah, I wonder why. Continuing from the report, what were NATO troops doing fighting alongside ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and Al-Nusra Front extremists? Question mark. Such rebels have massacred Christians, executed prisoners of war, held civilians hostage, and shot those who tried to escape. This is who we now know British and U.S. troops are fighting alongside. You don't hear any reports of that. The power structure is desperate. The biosphere is imploding. They have very few options left and pressing toward global conflict and continuing to topple countries in the Middle East to try to gain more resources. This is all a part of the equation. I've outlined this in previous weeks, going all the way back to Brzezinski's grand chessboard. This is what's happening in Aleppo. The whole Syrian conflict, who started that to begin with? Who started that? What would we do if another country armed some sort of militant group in the U.S. and encouraged them to start creating chaos in our country? What would we do? That's exactly what's happened there. It's exactly what's happened in other countries that I've named week after week after week. But the twisting of news in Syria is absolutely extreme. The West has virtually no journalists on the ground, and not the least of which because our so-called rebel allies would murder them, and relies on extremist versions of the truth sent out by unverifiable individuals with their iPhones. That's who's feeding the, quote, frontline news to U.S. corporate media, the terrorists. The terrorists that we have armed there. Is that really news? And if Western media has no journalists on the ground, not within about 200 miles of some of the front lines there, how can they report any news that's in any way accurate? They can't. The American population is being fed such unimaginable amounts of propaganda right now to try to galvanize them yet again for even more insanity from the Western military-industrial complex and the military-industrial complex around the globe, not condoning any of it. Russia, China, every nation is corrupt. No question about that. But what is the power center that's right now pushing us past the point of any return? And it's happening here. When we look at the drone, the underwater drone that was just picked up by the U.S. Navy, or the Chinese Navy, that was such a huge media issue for us here, what would we have done if one of their drones was perhaps somewhere around the Channel Islands, somewhere near our coast? What would we have done? The hypocrisy here is unimaginable. The amount of spin from U.S. media is beyond comprehension. The public has to look for alternative sources of data, and they better do it fast before the power structure tries to shut down those alternative sources of data. Look at frontline information and find out what's happening. So let me get to a final report I want to cover before I run out of time. Here's the title of this report, The Shadow Government's Secret Religion. Continuing with this subtitle, Why the National Security State That Emerged After 9/11 is a Warrior Religion Dedicated to Perpetual Conflict by Tom Englehart. From the report, the expansion of Washington's national security state, let's call it the NSS, to gargantuan proportions has historically met little opposition. In the wake of Edward Snowden's revelation, however, some resistance has arisen, especially when it comes to the, quote, right of one part of the national security state to turn the world into a listening post and gather, in particular, American communications of every sort. The debate about this invariably framed within the boundaries of whether or not we should have more security or more privacy and how exactly to balance the two has been reasonably vigorous. The problem is, it doesn't begin to get at the real nature of the national security state or the problem it poses. Continuing from the report, imagine what we call, quote, national security as a heart, a proselytizing warrior religion. It has its holy orders. It has its sacred texts that are classified. It has its dogma and its warrior priests. It has its sanctified promised land known as the, quote, homeland. It has its seminaries, which we call think tanks. It is a monotheistic faith in that it broaches no alternative to itself. It's a Manchurian candidate in its view of the world. As with so many religions, its God is an eye in the sky, an all-seeing being who knows your secrets. Consider the all-seeing eye that stares at us from U.S. currency bills, and why don't people even question this? Something to think about. Continuing from the report again. Until you enter their orders and rise into their secret world, there is such a thing as too much knowledge. As a result, they have developed a faith-based system of secrecy in which the deepest mysteries have, until recently, been held by the smallest numbers of believers, in which problems are adjudicated in a, quote, court system so secret that only favored arguments by the national security state can be presented to its judges, in which just about any document produced, no matter how anodyne, will be classified as too dangerous to be read by, quote, the people. This has meant that until recently, most assessments of the activities of the national security state have to be, quote, taken on faith. In addition, in the service of that faith, the national security state officials may, and their religion permits this, lie and manipulate to the public Congress, allies, or anyone else, and they may do so without consequence. They may publicly deny realities they know to exist, like geoengineering, or offer, as Conor Friedersdorf has written, statements, quote, exquisitely crafted to mislead. Continuing, they do this based on the belief that the deepest secrets of their world, the national security state, and how it operates can only truly be understood by those already inducted into their orders. And yet, they're not simply manipulating us in service to their one true faith, if you will. Nothing is ever that simple. Before they manipulate us, they must spend years manipulating themselves, only because they've already convinced themselves of the deeper truth of their mission, do they accept the necessity of manipulating others in what still passes for a, quote, democracy to serve the people. In other words, they have no choice but to lie. That's the state we live in. The secret national security state, that's the state we live in. Final statements from this report. Like other religious institutions, in their zenith, the national security state has also shown a striking ability to generate support for its ever-growing structure by turning itself into a lucrative global operation. In a world where genuine enemies are in remarkably short supply, though you'd never know it from the state of the world according to them. Again, how many times do we hear in our media, terrorists, 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 as if they're all out trying to get us. How many real enemies are there to the national security state? When we know 9/11 was a false flag, absolutely a false flag. And let's go back again, Vietnam, the weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist with Saddam Hussein. They create enemies because that's what the military-industrial complex needs, is enemies to galvanize the support of the population, the order followers, to do what they're told. The national security state has exhibited remarkable skill in rallying those who might support it financially, whether they call themselves Democrats or Republicans, it doesn't matter, and ensuring, even in budgetary tough times, that its coffers will continue to burst at the seams. What do we have happening right now? No matter who is elected, Trump or Hillary, we have the military-industrial complex being supported for further expansion. In spite of the fact that the biosphere is imploding, how much sense does that make? To continue to build weapons of mass destruction on a planet that is literally falling apart. That's the world we live in. The amount of resources being spent on the U.S. military is so staggering it defies rational belief. The U.S. national defense budget is estimated to be larger than those of the next 13 countries combined. That's simply off the charts unbelievable. The U.S. Navy has 11 aircraft carrier strike groups when no other country has more than two. No other national security organization can claim to, quote, sweep up nearly 5 billion records a day, mass surveillance, on the whereabouts of cell phones around the world, nor, like the National Security Agency's Special Source Operations Group in 2006, they boast about being capable of ingesting the equivalent of one Library of Congress every 14.4 seconds. Massive data sweeping. Think about this. Total mass surveillance state. When it comes to climate engineering, and how many times I hear people who want simply to find a reason to deny reality. We live in a society full of those types of people. How many times do I hear them say, if this was really going on, the whistleblowers would be lined up to expose this? What an incredibly naive statement that is. One, as I've reminded so many times, in the case of government scientists, they have no First Amendment protection. Two, we have federal gag orders now on all the weathermen, National Weather Service and NOAA. And we have an administration that's prosecuted and pursued more whistleblowers than all other administrations combined. And we have what I just read. We have mass surveillance that's on such a scale that they can ingest the equivalent of one Library of Congress worth of data every 14.4 seconds. Nothing is missed. Why would any whistleblower who's unwilling to face his own immediate demise, why would they step forward? Why? They certainly know they're going to be found and dealt with. What do we see happening with anybody who tries to tell the truth in our society? What do we see happening with John Kerekou, the person who blew the whistle on the illegal and absolutely inexcusable torture programs that our government was carrying out secretly? Who was the only person to go to jail? John Kerekou, the only one to go to jail. If you wonder how aggressively our government pursues anyone who dares tell the truth, read Kevin Shipp's book, From the Company of Shadows. Take the time to find out what's going on. Don't just put your head in the sand. That's inexcusable, especially for those who have children. Absolutely inexcusable to not investigate the vaccination issue. For those who claim to be patriotic, not investigating the 9/11 issue, not investigating real patriots like Pat Tillman. I challenge anybody to really investigate the Pat Tillman story and try to accept that one. That's what happens to a real patriot. Pat Tillman, who refused multi-million dollar football contracts, signed up for the military after 9/11, realized how corrupt the whole system was going to talk to university officials, was going to start to share what he knew. He was literally taken out and assassinated by our own military. And our military lied about that, claimed a completely fabricated story. The truth later came out. Read about Pat Tillman. That's what happens to a true patriot. That's what happens to someone who really wants to expose the truth. In summary, Washington's national security state should be viewed as a remarkable failure. And yet, in faith-based terms, those within this system that support this cancer view it as a great success. Its false gods are largely accepted by acclamation and regularly worshipped in Washington and beyond. As the funding continues to pour in, as I stated earlier in this report, the national security state has transformed itself into something like a shadow government in that city, in Washington, D.C. While precluding from all serious discussion the possibility of its own future dismantlement or of what could replace it, it has made other options ephemeral, and more immediate dangers than terrorism to the health and well-being of Americans seem at best secondary. The national security state doesn't care what they do. They don't care about the consequences. They don't care about contaminating the planet with 2,000 nuclear bombs, depleted uranium, geoengineering, which is contaminating the entire planet, tearing the life support systems apart. This is the cancer, the headless, heartless, soulless cancer, which the order followers are allowing to take place. This cancer has pumped fear into the American soul so that the population will support its activities. It's a religion of state power. That's what the national security state is, and Americans have gone along. I'm almost out of time. I want to finish with a quote from Marcus Aurelius, and the order followers should think about this. Quote, this is 2,000 years old, and this text fell into my lap when I was 14. It changed my life, along with the other Stoic philosophies, discourses of Epictetus. But this is Marcus Aurelius, a sane Roman emperor, who said this, the only sane Roman emperor, I would argue. If someone is able to show me that what I think or do is not right, I will happily change, for I seek the truth by which no one was ever truly harmed. It is the person who continues in his self-deception and ignorance who is harmed. Think about that. How many people are so willingly, at this dark hour, clinging to their self-deception? We have an entire population that's in that category. And we have a power structure that's all too willing, as I stated earlier in this show, to keep that population completely occupied while the biosphere implodes around them. To keep them occupied with new cars, with nothing down, with almost no interest on their homes, with 100% financing so they can use their homes for an ATM, so they can continue to consume. iPhones, distractions of every type. Football games, just like the games in the Colosseum that we had in ancient Rome, that's exactly where we're at. How many are truly willing to investigate the facts? How many are willing to abandon our programmed ideology and preconceptions? How many are willing to consider that we're a part of a larger whole? And if we do not behave as such, the whole will be no more. What will you do with the time given to you? Investigate the facts, face reality, and do your part for the greater good. Every day counts. This is Dane Wigginton with geoengineeringwatch.org. Until next week, thank you.